Good morning.
Good morning.
And it's a beautiful day.
Yes.
So you've seen things probably like some of these here, and when you first look at them, you see one thing, and the longer you look, you can see another thing. So if you see a duck, raise your hand. And if you can see the rabbit, raise your hand. Right. All right, you passed. So, two things in one. When I first look at this, I see birds, I see these huts, and then, but the longer you look, and some of you may have seen an elephant right off the bat, and when you look more at a distance, you see the outline of an elephant. Looks like a skull, but then there's a girl in a dress with a bow in her hair. And then I like this one. You start on one end and you see a bridge. You start on the other end, you see these ships, and they converge. And so today's lesson is about the fact that we walk through life and there's two things for us to see. One is physical and the other is spiritual. And the physical is very easy to see. In fact, we can't really live this life without seeing the physical. So we do that real well. It's the spiritual that we have a hard time seeing. And turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. It's a long chapter, but in this one chapter we have so much about Jesus trying to teach his apostles to see the spiritual. And time and again they keep getting hung up on the physical. And so chapter 9... in fact, this will, in this chapter, he's, you know, Jesus is progressing with his apostles closer and closer to the cross, closer and closer to the time that he will leave earth. So he's training them, but he only has a certain amount of time to train these guys. And verse 1 says, he called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority over demons and to cure diseases, and he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal. This was a big moment for these guys. Can you imagine that they've followed and they've seen Jesus heal. They've seen Jesus cast out demons. Now it's their turn. And they go out and they have these powers. And of course, they do them in Jesus' name. But still, they are now healing. They are now casting out demons. And of course, they are also proclaiming the kingdom of God. They're preaching the word of God. So they do this. They go to different villages, and they're healing and preaching. Everything's going well. A little bit later, we have this occasion where, in this chapter, if you read on further, we see where Jesus asks his apostles, okay, who are people saying that I am? What are you hearing, guys? Who do they think I am? Jesus. And, some say they think you're Elijah. Some say because it was prophesied that Elijah would come again. Some think you're a prophet. And Jesus asked Peter, who do you think? He said, you're the Son of the living God. And so everything's on track. Jesus tells his apostles, hey, he foretells his death. He says, I'm going to be killed. I'm going to be killed. And that's his mission. Everything's on track. He tells them, take up your cross. Follow me. That to follow Christ is not always easy. That there's sacrifice involved. He foretells his death again a little bit later. And then the apostles get to arguing amongst themselves. They get competitive. Sometimes we live in a world and a society where competition is good. And we raise our children up in different activities, and we want them to be the best. Sometimes your kid may come home and they say, you know, I got second in whatever it was in at school. And if you're like me, one of your first questions is, how many were there? How many were there in this competition? Well, there were only two, but I got second, you know, so it makes a difference. No, there were 30. Okay, that's good. Good job. We just have it in us to want our children to be the best they can be and to compete. I was watching a sporting event, and the announcer was talking about an athlete, said this athlete, their personality is really kind of quiet and reserved, but on the field, and it was described, his coach said he has Cutthroat competitiveness. We admire competitiveness, don't we?
Yes.
We teach it, we praise it, we chase it, and yet more and more it is, my eyes are starting to be open, because when I search God's word for us in the kingdom of God and what God's teaching us, see, we're in the physical. And in the physical, in real life, we tell our kids, hey, there's winners and losers. You better get ready. You better buckle up. You better work hard, right? We want our children to be winners. But spiritually, I can't find it. Spiritually, I don't find where Jesus said to his apostles, listen, you guys work hard. Who's going to be the best? Work hard. Who healed the most? Come on, let's find out. Who did it? Who cast out more demons? James, was it you? Which one of y'all? How many did you have? No, in fact, the apostles get to argue in that way. And we don't know how they argued, what they talked about. I just kind of imagine them, you know, arguing about, well, I cast out seven demons, James. I know you healed some diseases, but how many demons did you cast out? You know I'm better than you at this. You know I am. Come on. And so they're arguing. Who's better among these 12? And Jesus has to correct them. And they come to Jesus, look at verse 49. They say, Master, they're in a panic. Master, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him. Incidentally, we tried. Evidently, they couldn't stop him. Evidently, they were trying to leave the demon in the person. We want this demon, you don't come out. No, you don't come out. You're not with Jesus trying to cast this demon out. Evidently, the demon came out. Anyway, we tried to stop him, because he does not follow with us. But Jesus said to him, do not stop him, for the one who is not against you is for you. They are looking at the physical. And at the physical, they're saying, Jesus, we know they're not with us. It's competition. They're trying to do what we're doing. And we know you didn't. We don't think you gave them. They're not supposed to be doing that, Jesus. And we tried to stop them. And Jesus says, you're missing the point. You're completely missing the point. Verse 51 says, days drew near for him to be taken up. We have senior appreciation tonight at 5 o'clock, and we're going to honor our seniors. And so we have some parents in our church family that are feeling what Jesus felt in this moment. This verse says, the time drew near for him to be taken up, meaning Jesus' time to train these guys is about over. He's running out. And parents, when your kid's about to graduate high school, you might still be trying to train them. I'm sure you are. Anything you think they don't get yet, you're trying. They're not listening, right? They're not, but you're trying because your time's running out and they're going to be on their own. And that's no doubt Jesus felt that. So they're traveling to Jerusalem, and Jesus sends messengers in their party. Jesus sends messengers. You go ahead, go to a village, and they're going through Samaria. You go to a village, find us a place to stay tonight. So in the first century, when you go into town and you're trying to figure out where you're going to stay, you don't look for the hotels and motels. You people would host you, hospitality. And so they do this. But it's in a Samaritan village, and Jesus and his group, they're going to Jerusalem, Jews and Samaritans. And so the people in this village, they rejected them. And the way Scripture reads, it may have been like this, that Jesus and the apostles were approaching. They'd already sent messengers, and they may be approaching, and the messengers, it's like they see it, Scripture says. They see that they were not going to have acceptance. Verse 54, when the disciples, James and John, saw it, what'd they see? They saw that these people in this Samaritan village are rejecting them. No, you're not staying here. You can't stay here because you're Jews. You're headed to Jerusalem. You're not staying here. And James and John, they said, Jesus, do you want us to call down fire from heaven and destroy this village? We will do it, Jesus. We will do it. You won't have to do it, Jesus. Do you want us to do it? Because we are ready. We will do it. We'll pull the trigger. I don't know if Jesus shook his head, but he turned and rebuked them, and they went on to another village. You talk about seeing the wrong thing. These guys, they're looking at it from a human standpoint, and a human standpoint is to those in this village, really, you're going to reject us? You don't know who you're rejecting. We cast out demons. We heal diseases. This guy walks on water. We'll call down fire from heaven. You don't know who you're talking to. But that's an earthly mindset. And Jesus is telling them, we're after the spiritual. Stephanie and I were at a Drillers game Friday night. And when you're out at an event that's out in public around other people, you're enjoying this event, but you're doing it with others, and that, you know, in a large enough group, there's some knuckleheads. And so there was one that was a little bit further down in front of us that was really loud and obnoxious, and so that was kind of interesting to watch and a little frustrating. And then at one point, some kids they were yelling. They're actually in the upper deck, and they were yelling, but it's a game, so you're supposed to yell. I know what you're thinking, Elliot. When you go to a game, Elliot Preacher, people do yell. But these boys, they're probably 7, 8 years old, and they were yelling the same thing over and over and over and over and over and over. And if I did that for about 2 straight minutes, you'd want to slap me. And I wanted to slap them, and it was so frustrating. And I'm not the only one. Everyone in my section that I'm kind of, you know, I see them turning around and looking, and people are frustrating. Walk out of the stadium, and there's a man walking in military gear and with a sign, "We'll sing naked for weed. We'll sing naked for weed." I don't know if he really would. I didn't test that, but when you see someone disrespecting, you know, what that uniform or what any uniform similar to that, what that means and represents, and in a human standpoint, in a physical standpoint, that's frustrating. And then I try to think spiritually. I try to think spiritually. And it changes what I think of those situations, because it minimizes part of it that I'm frustrated about, and it elevates a whole different view of them. Those boys in the upper deck, what are they going to be when they're grown? Are they going to be soldiers in the kingdom of God? I don't know anything about them. They might be. Are they going to be lost, living lost, needing to be saved? They might be. That's a spiritual attitude, and it's difficult to have. And these occasions where Jesus is trying to get his apostles to see the spiritual, it happens time and again. Look at this. We'll flip through a few of them. Matthew 16:5, Jesus tells his apostles in verse 6, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees." So leaven, of course, is used in bread to make it rise. And verse 7, the apostles, what do? They get to talking about bread. We brought no bread. I mean, they've had occasions where they've been out and they didn't have food, and now they're panicking. Jesus is, he's upset with us, guys. He's upset. Wait, who was supposed to bring the bread? I picture Judas, by the way, saying, "Guys, I take care of the money. I got the money. Who had snacks? Who was supposed to bring snacks today?" And they're arguing and they're panicking. And Jesus says, "No, how is it that you fail to understand?" And he goes in and explains. He's talking spiritually about their teaching. In John chapter 2, verse 15 is where Jesus, he's about to run people out of the temple for what they were doing improperly in the temple. And he makes a whip, and he goes and he runs them out because they were exchanging money and all kinds of things. And Jesus says, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it." Of course, they thought he's talking about the actual temple. Jesus is talking about spiritual, the spiritual temple, his body. They didn't understand. John 18, here's a case with Pilate. When Jesus is being tried by Pilate in John 18:33, Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you king of the Jews?" Now remember, that's to be king is something, and to claim to be king is something, and Jesus would have been killed as a baby as maybe a toddler, because Herod had all the 2-year-old babies, boys and under, killed because he heard a king was born. And here Pilate at the end of Jesus' life says, "Are you king of the Jews?" Jesus says, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews, but my kingdom is not of this world." And that is hard for us to remember, isn't it? It's hard for me to remember. I keep living this life like there is no spiritual, or having a hard time seeing the spiritual and getting too focused on the physical. But Jesus says that's not what this is about. In John chapter 4, verse 27, this is where Jesus is with the Samaritan woman. Remember, his apostles, they go into town to get food. Jesus stays at the well. So this well is outside of town, and Jesus is there, and he waits on them. Maybe he's tired. And a woman comes to draw water, and Jesus and this woman have this interaction, and Jesus tells her about living water, and finally, she realizes that he might be or is the Messiah, so she goes into town. His disciples, his apostles, come back right about that time. They see that he was talking to a woman, Samaritan woman, which people never did. Jews did not do. And they could not figure that out. But they go to Jesus in verse 31. And what are they focused on? And by the way, Jesus is trying to save this village. He's trying to save people from their sins. And the apostles come, they say, "Jesus, Rabbi, you have to eat." Maybe he's tired. Maybe he's famished. Maybe he physically needed to eat. I don't know, but that's what they're focused on. They say, "Jesus, come on. You need to eat. You've got to eat something." He said, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." And they said, "Where in the world did he get food? Who brought him food? Did one of y'all... Did he bring his own food? He act like we didn't have any food. Where did he get food?" And Jesus has to explain to them. And he says in verse 35, Do you not say there are 4 months and then comes the harvest? Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. This is what we should be about. We should be about souls. We should be focused on souls. You have a job, you have things that you do, you have appointments that you make, you have plans, you have education, you have all these things in this physical world that we do. We have events, we have our kids' events and different activities. But souls, when we're at activities, are we seeing souls or are we seeing obnoxious people? I sat by a guy at the game that he didn't say a word the whole time. He didn't really do anything the whole time. I actually wondered why he was there. He seemed to be by himself. Didn't seem to be. I don't know. It was the strangest thing. It's like he's on a park bench. I don't know. But spiritually, see, I have to make myself see that other, right? Just like in the pictures, I have to force myself to, because the physical we do naturally. To see someone spiritually. What's going on with him spiritually? I don't know. Souls. Jesus told a parable in Mark 4 about a sower and the seed. And the sower and the seed fall on different soils. And then in verse 9 he says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And the question of today is, are we hearing the spiritual? Are we seeing the spiritual? That's the question. And Jesus calls us as his children into a kingdom, and he says, "I need you to see the spiritual," because that's what we're about. And so I'll give you 4 things that you can do to help in this. And the first one is pray more. Pray more. We need to be a praying church. We need to pray for growth. We need to pray God send us people and God and lead us to people. God, help us reach the lost. Help us to care more about that than anything. We need to be praying about our young people. We need to be praying about our church family, that we'll continue in love and unity, and just that we'll honor him. But we need to pray, "God, help me see what you see. Help me see what you see," because there, so much of the time, we're not seeing what God sees, are we? I'm positive. We're into things God could care less about. In this life, in a physical standpoint, we want our kids to be competitive. And in this life, there's winners and losers. And God, He's trying to save souls. He's trying to save. God says, hey, judgment day, there's going to be winners and losers. That's what I'm about. And meanwhile, we're chasing. I'm not saying that it's wrong for a kid to be on a team and compete. I'm not saying that. I'm saying we overvalue competitiveness. And we need to lower that. And we need to raise up our love for people. And the kingdom is about bringing all in. Number two, ask what Satan is doing. And you can be sure he's lying. That's what Satan does. He lies. He's the father of lies. He's telling us that certain things are important, but really they're not. And that's his lie. He says, you need to work harder on this. You need to spend more time on this. And it's really not important. He's telling us things are not important that really are important. Parents, grandparents, bring your kids to class here. Bring your kids to class. It's important. Bring them. And you go to class. Go to Bible class Sunday morning. What better way to start your week than with other Christians your age in this church family in a room with our Bibles open, growing closer to God? What better thing to do? What better way to start our week? Parents, grandparents, come. It's an hour earlier. I'm sure it's later than you're going to start your day tomorrow. It's an hour earlier. Come. The devil will tell you that's not that important. But a day will come when we want these children to be faithful to Christ in God's kingdom. We want them to be soldiers in the kingdom. And them having this routine of growing in Christ in class is a big deal. But Satan, what is he doing? He's lying to us about a lot of things. Ask what God is trying to do. It may be something that God's trying to do that involves you, but it's not about you. Some things in life we say, man, this is bad. God, why is this happening? Why is this not working out? I pray, I try. Things are just not, I'm not getting my dream fairy tale life that I've planned out, God. What's the problem? And God is saying, I'm working on stuff, but it's not your stuff. It's not what you're worried about. The fairy tale life is not God. That's not what God made us. That's an American dream. And God made us to do good works and glorify Him. That's why God created us. We need to raise our children up and remind them God didn't make you to have this Disney life that we, you know, you watch shows and we watch movies and we see and we want that. God is about the spiritual. And He wants us to have the best spiritual life. And so God's doing things. And for us to stop and say, I wonder what God's trying to do here. That's a big eye opener. Because it may be entirely different. I've recently did something that I'll share with you, and then we'll close this up. It's hard to see the spiritual. And so recently I was struggling with something and worried. And in my worry, I was worrying, but I was doing things. So I was walking. And I imagined, I knew God's with me. The Bible says God is with us, right? And so I tried to picture this physically. And so I pictured God walking as a person, just kind of a person of sorts, in front of me. God's leading me. And the Holy Spirit is walking step by step with me, because the Spirit is, you know, the Bible says the Spirit's in us. And so I imagine this person, the Spirit, walking beside me, and Jesus walking behind me. And in my mind, it makes sense that Jesus has my back, because Jesus has walked this earth, right? He's our mediator. He has my back. The Spirit has my side, and my Father, God the Father, has my front. And I know this is strange, okay? But I pictured these three with me physically. And I said, Elliot, what would that be like if I could see them? And I tell you what, the word for it is entourage. You talk about a spiritual entourage. That you could be sitting in a room worrying or struggling, and you imagine these three are sitting in that same room with you. What are they doing? They're helping you. They're encouraging you. They're comforting you. They're guiding you. They're strengthening you. It's not that they're worshiping me. No, I worship them. But they're helping me because we are weak. And I don't have a book, chapter, verse that says you need to picture God this way. So this is you do what works for you to understand how close God is with you. And I'll give you an example. So this is in John 16:32, if you want to look at this. John 16:32. Jesus tells his apostles, you're going to be scattered. And what he's talking about is in the garden. When Judas gives him the kiss and Jesus surrenders himself in the garden of Gethsemane, his apostles scatter. And Jesus tells him that. He says, you're going to scatter. You're going to leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. I don't know how Jesus pictured the Father, but Jesus knew the Father was with him. And he said, I'm not going to be alone. You're not going to be with me physically, but the Father will be with me spiritually. Okay? All right, number four, remember, it's not about me. Number five, let me back up just a second. It's not about me. It's hard to do because you see everything in life from your vantage point. There's no way around that. But you have to really work to realize I'm just one of many souls on this planet. This life, this world is not about me. And then number five, think souls. And I borrowed this one from some of you know who Ron Babbitt is. I admire Ron Babbitt quite a bit. This is one that I heard from him years ago. But think souls is just a way to remind yourself to focus on what you need to be focused on. Focus on the spiritual. There may be someone here this morning. We're going to sing this song, Just As I Am. And there may be one here that you're not right with God. You've never given your life to God. You've never surrendered and had your sins washed away in baptism. And the devil is telling you you're not ready. The devil may tell you, listen, next week will be better. You need to do A, B, and C first. And God says you just need to come. As you are, just come and give your life to Christ. So we do that here. We'll do it during the service. We'll do it 2 in the afternoon. We'll do it 11 o'clock at night. It doesn't matter. 2 in the morning, anytime one needs to give their life to Christ, we want to help you. If you have prayers, something you'd like us to pray with you for, we would do that if you would come while we stand and sing.